except for being dark. The house looked much the same. The wide front porch with its four white columns, the rough-cut limestone and single light burning. There was Mrs. Michaels next door, just a few yards away, moving in her kitchen, washing dishes and staring out into the night. There was Mr. Bennett in his easy chair, the curtains open, the television on. Nora could almost believe, walking up the steps, that she lived here still. But the door opened into rooms that were bare, empty, shocking in their smallness. Walking through the cold house, Nora struggled to clear her head. The effects of the wine seemed very much stronger now, and she was having trouble connecting one moment to another. She held David's new camera in one hand. A fact, not a decision. There were 15 pictures left, and spare flashbulbs in her pocket. She took a picture of the chandelier, satisfied when the bulb flashed, because now she would always have that image with her. She would never wake up in the middle of the night in 20 years and not be able to remember this detail, these graceful sickles of gold. She walked from room to room, still drunk but charged with purpose, framing windows, light fixtures, the swirling grain of the floor. It seemed vitally important that she record every detail. At one point, in the living room, a spent and blistered bulb slipped from her hand and shattered. When she stepped back, glass pierced her heel. She studied her stocking feet for a moment, amused and impressed by her degree of drunkenness. She must have left her wet shoes by the front door out of old habit. She wandered through the house twice more, documenting light switches, windows, the pipe where gas had once come up to the second floor. It was only on her way downstairs that she realized her foot was bleeding, leaving a splotchy trail. Grim hearts, bloody little valentines. Nora was shocked and also strangely thrilled at the damage she had managed to inflict. She found her shoes, went outside. Her heel throbbed as she slid into the car, the camera still dangling from her wrist. Later, she would not remember much about the drive, only the dark, narrow streets, the wind in the leaves, light flashing on the puddles and water spraying off her tires. She would not remember the crash of metal against metal, but only the sudden, startling sight of a trash can glittering, flying up in front of the car. Wet with rain, it seemed suspended for a long moment before it began to fall. She remembered that it hit the hood and rolled up to shatter the windshield. She remembered the car bouncing over the curb and coming to a gentle stop in the median, beneath a pin oak. She did not remember hitting the windshield, but it looked like a spider web, the intricate lines fanning out, delicate, beautiful, and precise. When she pressed her hand to her forehead, it came away lightly smeared with blood. She did not get out of the car. The trash can was rolling in the street. Dark shapes, cats, lurked at the edges of the trash, scattered in an arc. Lights flashed on in the house to her right, and a man came out in his robe and slippers, hurrying down the sidewalk to her car. "Are you all right?" he asked, leaning down to look in the window as she rolled it slowly open.